The Celtics stayed quiet, but the league did not. Kevin Durant wants out of Brooklyn. How can Boston take advantage of that? Talking about it right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked On number 18, Tatum and Brown, J team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how I started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked On Celtics pod, home of the winners.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast, and thank you for making this show part of your daily routine here for you Monday through Friday. Now that free agency started, this is a great time to subscribe to the podcast and follow it wherever you get your podcast. However you decide to listen, through Spotify, through Apple, through Google, through some other app, or if you want to watch a show on YouTube, you can do that as well. I'm here for you on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment, share the podcast, do all that great stuff. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, and I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. I was also one of the media voters for the Celtics 75th anniversary team. Free agency has opened, and the Celtics didn't do anything on day one. Day one came and went without the Celtics making a move, understandably so. The Celtics only had their taxpayer mid-level to spend, and they have their TPE, the traded player exception, the 17.1 blah, 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 blah million. That's not a tool that's going to get done, that's going to be used necessarily on day one, I don't think. So I'm not surprised by any of this. Day one is always stupid money day. Day one is, you know, the Jalen Brunson signing and some of these guys getting their massive extensions, like Nikola Jokic, 5 years, $270 million, which is just an insane amount of money. But, hey, deserves it. That's his cut of the cash. Good for you. And so that stuff, that doesn't surprise me. So what surprised me was Kevin Durant asking out. So we'll start with Kevin Durant. Then we'll get into some of the other stuff that the Celtics kind of watched happen. Why some of this money was spent elsewhere, some of the other names, that's all coming up later on in the podcast. We got to start with the Kevin Durant stuff, which you've probably seen discussed ad nauseum throughout the day. But here's the big thing for the Celtics. The collective bargaining agreement, if Kevin Durant really is looking to go to Phoenix, if that's his preferred destination, then the collective bargaining agreement is Boston's friend. Because there aren't many teams with cap space left, and the Celtics have a tool, that $17 million traded player exception, that can help facilitate this trade, and they want to help make this happen. So basically, in a nutshell, for people who haven't read it on Boston Sports Journal, I've written it a couple of different ways, haven't heard it through some of the other analysis, the short version is a thing called base year compensation. When a rookie or somebody is signed and traded, especially this rookie deal, because the number jumps so much, there's a thing called base year compensation. And what that is it's a mechanism that kind of prevents big market teams from swooping in and stealing these small market teams and having to just say, hey, look, we're just going to throw you some trash and, you know, whatever. So anyway, the base year compensation in a nutshell is for the Brooklyn Nets, the money coming in is whatever he's paid, whatever. If you're trading for DeAndre Ayton and it's a $30 million contract, I forget what the actual number is, but let's just say 30 million. Let's just use the round number. For Brooklyn, it counts as 30 coming in, but for the Suns, it counts as 15 million. So there's going to have to be some level of salary shedding going on. The Nets have to match the 30 million. The Suns only have to match they're just sending out 15. So it's hard to pull off. It's almost impossible for two teams to pull this off. So what's going to end up happening is a third team, a fourth team is going to have to come in. Why this happens, it's all confusing. I have this temptation to just be like spitting out all of this. You don't need to know all of that craziness. All you need to know is that the numbers, the salary matching is thrown off by this mechanism. The Celtics, because they have this traded player exception, they can now sit there and say, hey, we got $17 million. You got a player you need to dump? Sure, send them over. And if you've got multiple players, remember, you got to look at the traded player exception like a bucket, all right? You get a bucket, this cup here, and you can only take back how much water. I'm showing an old Dunkin' Donuts refillable cup. I'm not doing a Dunkin' ad, trust me. You got to pay me more money. You can only fill this cup with however much water it can hold. You can't take a glass. I got a bunch of empty glasses on my desk and say, okay, no, we're going to combine this to take in more. No, it's whatever this cup can hold. That's it. $17 million worth goes to the top. $17.1 million. $17.2, it spills. You can't do that. You can only use this. So that's what the traded player exception is. Now, if you get $8 million and $9 million and pour two cups into this thing, sure. Whatever this can carry, if you're pouring three cups of water into it, if you're pouring 10, if you're pouring one, doesn't matter. All you got to do is fill this, and it's all you can do is fill this. So that's what the TPE is. Can't combine it with a player, can't combine it with anything else. But if there are two players, if Brooklyn needs to get rid of a guy and the Suns need to get rid of a guy and Boston's like, yeah, we could use those guys, sure. I don't know how much Brooklyn's going to care that Boston's the team involved, because they're just kind of like not competing for a championship now. Those days are done. Phoenix doesn't care because Boston's in the East. And if you have to beat Boston, so what? You know, you've got Chris Paul and Kevin Durant. You're probably like, yeah, whatever, bring it on. So the Celtics, part of why they're quiet, why they were quiet in day one, was for that. I'm sure that there's some level of the Celtics waiting for that to shake out. And once that trade shakes out, and hopefully it shakes out somewhat soon, then they can get to the business of targeting something else. Now, I will say that if a better option, if the Celtics are sitting there and saying like, hey, there's, you know, Brooklyn, let's go. Give me something. And Brooklyn's like, no, we got to take our time with this. Then the Celtics can peel off, and that's their problem now. That's Brooklyn's problem now. It's not on Brooklyn to do things in any certain time frame. And hell, if I were the Brooklyn Nets, I'd just say, hey, give me somebody else. You know, give me two, three teams that I can trade you to. Like, well, what can we do here? Well, you can't just say trade me to Phoenix. And it's interesting because he's got 4 years left on his deal, but you know, whatever. That's Brooklyn's problem. The Celtics can adjust later if they need to. But for now, I would expect when it comes to the TPE, ride this out, kind of see if you can feel that out. Can you sneak in and grab a useful player or two to build out your bench because of all of this? It's like letting the sharks feed and you're the other fish kind of swimming in and be like, oh yeah, I'll just take a chunk of this and take a chunk of that. You did all the work. We're just going to come over here and feed on your scraps. We're only looking for scraps anyway. So that's that. That's the Kevin Durant situation and why the Celtics and why you and I are going to be watching this Brooklyn situation very, very closely, because that is going to be a big, big indicator and a potential for Boston to get some help. Up next, more on the mid-level stuff, some of the stuff that happened and some of the players that moved that, all right, just too much money. And I don't know if any of it was surprising to anybody else. I wasn't really surprised. So we'll talk about that coming up next. First, let's talk about the biggest news. A free NBA Jam Shaq Edition machine for you, potentially. You can win it from Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games. They're bringing the best game ever back. They've made it bigger than ever, partnering with Shaquille O'Neal. I want one of these so bad. I just might pony up and buy one of these things. I'm obsessed with NBA Jam. I'm sure plenty of you are obsessed with NBA Jam. And you can once again play hoops with NBA legends in this arcade classic. Jump clear across the court. You can set the ball on fire. And it's one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and now no quarters required. You can compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up.com. For an estimated early September ship date, Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They've got even more classics too, like Golden Tee and Mortal Kombat and many others. And they're starting at just $399, but they're giving away NBA Jam Shaq Edition machines to Locked On listeners. So enter for your chance to win a game console. Put it in your man cave, put it in your kid's room, wherever you want to put it. That's at arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockedon. You've got until July 8th to enter to win NBA Jam Shaq Edition. So don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with? Hey, check out the Locked On NBA podcast for your second listen of the day. Locked On Celtics, obviously your first listen. I know it is. So get to Locked On NBA, which I host on Wednesdays. We just did a whole big free agency special that I was on. Doing great things there on the network. The Locked On NBA podcast is a real great feed. You should check it out. Monday through Friday, just like Locked On Celtics. So make it your second listen. Subscribe wherever you got your Locked On Celtics podcast. I can spit this out. I'm recording late, by the way. It's like 1 a.m. Later than usual in the off season, but I really waited for I felt like 1 a.m. was okay. Maybe Brad Stevens is asleep. Maybe this is the time that they're going to table things and it's safe. And I'll hopefully, because I know Brad's an early riser and I am not, I'm going to wake up at something like 10 a.m. and Brad will have pulled off some ridiculous multiplayer, this and that, at like 8:45. And it's going to be 10 o'clock and everybody's going to be screaming at me because it's happened before. It happened last off season where I woke up at like, even like 9:30, or it's not that bad, but all of a sudden something like Kemba was traded or whatever it was. And I just woke up to tweets like, I need John to wake up and tell me what's going on. I'll do my best. But if you're listening to this and something's happened and it's 9:30 or 10 o'clock and I haven't chimed in, I'm just trying to get a little bit of sleep. The Celtics didn't do a lot. They just, from all accounts, they're, you know, obviously they're working, but they just are biding their time. And when you look at the money that was thrown around, like Kyle Anderson is a guy that I was asked about plenty. And you say, hey, Kyle Anderson, you never know. Maybe he can be had at some number in that tax in the mid-level. Can he be had for the taxpayer? Nope. 2 years, $18 million. He goes to Minnesota. PJ Tucker, 3 years, $33 million to go to Philly. So deals, like I said at the top of the show, stupid money gets thrown around. And when you look at some of the other money, like Lonnie Walker, okay, Lonnie Walker went for a reasonable amount. He got the taxpayer mid-level. And you say, hey, wait, Lonnie Walker is a guy that could help. And he's obviously, his time in San Antonio was not as fruitful as he wanted to be, but say, hey, you know what? Put him next to some better players, put him, you know, in a system with better players. Maybe he can shoot a little bit better. Maybe he can defend a little bit better. He has the tools, the raw tools are there. Maybe he can change and be a better player. But clutch client, Lakers needed somebody. He signed with LA. So that's why he, and maybe he could have gotten, I don't know if he could have gotten more. I don't know if he was going to get less, but he goes to the Lakers because he's a clutch client and they need young help and he's young help. So they're banking on him. Troy Brown, not a guy that I think the Celtics were targeting, but he goes to the Lakers. Clutch clients going to the Lakers. Not surprising. The Lakers now have 6 players who are repped by Clutch. You look at some of the other deals that Brooklyn did. Patty Mills, 2 years, $14.5 million there. I think that's somebody to watch for. And I honestly, one of my takeaways from day one in free agency is that a lot of these re-signings that are going on around the league, Gary Harris, Tyus Jones, Bobby Portis, Patty Mills, these guys, maybe not Portis so much, Tyus Jones might, you know, that's a good deal for Memphis. But these guys like Gary Harris and Patty Mills especially, they are tradable guys. And I think it's kind of smart to lock them up and say, hey, maybe they can continue to help. In Gary Harris's case, he rediscovered his shot. He's, you know, he played better in Orlando. Maybe that's just a place where he's going to thrive. But if they can end up flipping him, then flip him. Why not? That's they're trying to build a winner down there. I don't think Gary Harris is a guy that's going to be a huge fixture on that team long term. So if you have an opportunity to lock him up and say, hey, he can be better, make us better for now. And if he can play up his value, then he's tradable at the deadline. So I think the trade deadline is going to be pretty active. I think a lot of guys got signed to or re-signed in day one here. And I think a lot more guys are going to get re-signed. I think these are all guys. Patty Mills is a great example. Guys that are potentially going to be moved at the deadline. $7+ million for Patty Mills. It gets him the most, that's the most money he was going to get. Really, no one was going to give him more than the taxpayer mid-level. No one was going to give him the full mid-level. So Brooklyn gave him the most money they could give him. Now at the deadline, Brooklyn's probably not going to be competing for much. They can sit there and say, hey, we got a Patty Mills for you, $7 million. What am I bid? And they have no draft picks. So Celtics can say, all right, we got draft picks. We can turn around and give you something. Is it a heavily protected first? Is it seconds? Is it a lightly protected first? Is the first for whatever Patty Mills is going to do next year worth it? That's going to be up for debate. I don't know. Probably second round. I don't know. We'll see. But The biggest takeaway from day one for me is that I think that a lot of guys are going to be available at the deadline. And that's going to influence, I think, what the Celtics are going to be able to do. You use the mid-level exception, right? You give somebody the $6.5 million. You use your TPE somehow because you've gone through such great lengths to create it. You have to use it, right? You have to use it somehow. Even if it's a salary dump that you take and say, okay, this is not even a player that we want, but it's a guy that we can turn around and maybe trade at the deadline and extend the TPE that way. That you got to do something with it. You got to do something with it. Can't just let it expire. They'll publicly say that they are willing to let it expire. I think you cannot do that. You cannot let that happen. You have to use it. So those two things you have to use. So if we're setting expectations, which I've been trying to do, the expectation is two signings, two moves, at least maybe a third, maybe you get a veteran minimum guy, but two is basically, you should expect two this summer. Okay. And then trade deadline becomes, I think, a little bit more important now because a lot of these guys that may have been targets become potentially available after December, January, February. That's going to be an important time for the Celtics. And I think the Celtics should split their maneuvers between now and the trade deadline. You make your two or three maneuvers now, see how they work. You've got a couple of TPEs, $5 and $6 million, that might be helpful. You've got tradable contracts on the team. You've got draft picks. At the deadline, if one or two or three or something unexpected doesn't work, then at the deadline, you say, all right, we're going to – here's where we make our move to correct our past mistakes. So that, I think, kind of all lines up. All right, some other names. Who can the Celtics go after? What can we look at in day two? Who's going to be the guy that I wake up to and say, oh, God, this is who they got? Okay, time to write. Who's that? I'll talk about that when I come back. First, I'm going to talk to you about BetOnline, your number one source for all your betting needs, sports info. First, for all your latest sports developments, league reviews, you've got Major League Baseball that you can bet on. You've got Wimbledon. That's you know, fun. I like tennis. If you like tennis, why not? Any kind of fights, MMA, boxing. If you like betting on golf, that could be something. During the tournament, in-game, in-event betting, it's there at BetOnline, which remains your best spot for all of your sports scores, your podcasts, your news, sports wagering information, live betting, like I said, it's all there. Head on over to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Day one's in the books. Day two of free agency is going to be interesting to see what guys slept on, what decisions are going to be made. The Celtics have a few interesting potential names that they could look at. My number one, considering everything that has happened in Brooklyn, is I'm back on the Bruce Brown bandwagon. Give me Bruce Brown. Give me, come home to Boston. Be that versatile guy. Be that versatile defender. I don't know what Brooklyn's going to do with him. I don't know what offers he's going to be getting. The fact that he's made it to day two is very interesting to me. I don't know if he's waiting for an offer from Brooklyn, but considering everything that's happening, why not come home? Get Bruce Brown to Boston. If he is somewhere within that price range, I'm all in. Like, just bring him in. If you can sign him, I elevate him above Otto Porter. I think that would be, just signing Bruce Brown would be a huge get for the Celtics. I think that would be a really impactful player on this team. I think the way he works, the way he defends, the way he can shoot, I think he can be on this team, on this Celtics team, I think that'll be huge. And the story of him coming home would be great. So he's still out there. Otto Porter is still out there. And I highlighted him as my top guy when I thought Bruce Brown was probably going to go back to Brooklyn, when that stuff seemed to be settled. I really thought the Brooklyn stuff was going to be settled for a little while, at least get through the beginning of the season, but very obviously not. So Otto Porter's still out there. TJ Warren's still out there. What about Dante DiVincenzo? He is, you know, the Kings let him go, and he's a decent defender. He can shoot a little bit. He's had some tough shooting in the past, but, you know, why is he still on the market? Why is Jalen Smith still on the market? There's some names there that I thought, considering some of the guys that went, I'm a little surprised that some of these guys are still hanging around. I think teams might just be, first of all, the opening flurry is always very interesting to watch. It's very interesting to see how teams spend whatever cap space they have. And then there are always some surprising kind of leftovers. So maybe Bruce Brown is in, you know, DiVincenzo. I thought DiVincenzo would probably go. Maybe those guys, I don't know. Maybe there's teams just have different ideas. Gary Payton, there's rumors that Gary Payton might be on his way out in Golden State. How much is he going to get? Our team's trying to decide between like a Payton and a Bruce Brown. Is, you know, Payton's an elite defender. Maybe they want that. So there are some interesting names. I think the Celtics may make a move on day two and then stay quiet for a while. We always hype things up. We always hype things up and say, oh my God, they got to do this. They got these tools. They got to do this and that and the other thing. I've had people ask me, and I think they, you know, some people were like, I think some people expected that the Celtics completely remake their bench, which I don't know anybody that said remake their bench. They got to build out their bench, but you've got Grant Williams, you've got Derek White, you've got good players on the bench. You just need a couple more. You know, remember, like, teams go 9 deep, 10 deep max. So the Celtics with Grant and Derek on the bench only need 2 or 3 more guys. And two of those guys are, you've got Peyton Pritchard, you've got Aaron Nesmith, you've got Sam Hauser, you've got guys who could internally develop. You bring in a couple of guys, you up the competition. I think that's enough. I mean, how many guys do you want to sign? How many different guys can come in? I think Grant Williams is obviously a super valuable guy. Pritchard has the opportunity, I think, to play some minutes, just to eat up some minutes during the regular season. But then he can be an expendable guy. I honestly just think that Pritchard is going to end up being expendable. I could be wrong. He could be used. And he's certainly, I'm not saying it because I don't think he's good. He is good, but he also could be expendable considering that his size and I think if the Celtics are trying to upgrade that spot in the backcourt, maybe he's the guy that goes. If he stays, great. If he goes, then it should be for a decent player. I keep saying that if you can attach him to Tice in a pick or Tice a pick in one of these other guys on the bench, maybe you can get something decent in the $14 million range. But however they build it out, however they do it, we're only looking at a couple of these guys. If they get Bruce Brown, then the next guy that they bring in will have to probably have a little bit of size to him because they don't want to be too small. So I think they are only looking for a couple of guys, 2 or 3 max. So we'll see. Day two, right around the corner. So we'll wrap it up right there. If the Celtics make a big move in free agency over the weekend, I will do something. If they just sign Bruce Brown, I don't think I need an emergency podcast to do that. I think we could just save that for Monday. But if they do something significant, then I can pop on over the weekend. So follow me on Twitter I almost gave my old Twitter handle, at John_Corrales. And I will tweet out if I'm doing an emergency show. I don't want to call it emergency show, bonus show, whatever, reaction show. So whatever, subscribe to the podcast. It'll come right to your feed. You don't have to follow me on Twitter or anything. Just subscribe. It'll get right to your feed. Subscribe to the show on YouTube. Hit the bell. Get an announcement. If you are subscribed, share the podcast. Tell your friends, tell everybody that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.